This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Less than a week away from high school football across the state of Illinois. Good morning. Welcome to Sports Saturday. T-Tote, David Jenkins, Tim Mize with you here, and a couple of in-studio guests. Dan Newkirk with us. He'll be on the broadcast next Friday night for Southwestern and Hillsborough. We'll be talking to Dan here throughout the hour. We're also going to catch up with Matt Trohaw of the IHSA. That'll come your way at about 9:30 this morning. We've also got some football coaches on the docket. But first things first, we must start with safety. And Melissa Van Giesen of Hillsborough Area Hospital joining us in studio this morning. Melissa, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time.
Thank you.
High school football season right around the corner, so that will get a lot of people's antennas up and thinking about concussions and other safety practices. And there has actually been a fairly significant change in the way that concussions are going to be handled now through high school football, and you have the details.
Yes. Last two years ago in the 2013-14 season, there was an act that was placed in called the Youth Sports Concussion Safety Act, and there was a few different new rules that they had to follow as far as what they needed to do and handle, and it was very prominent that athletic trainers like myself were involved in that as well. And this year, on August 3rd, Governor Rauner actually made that act into a law. So it is now mandated throughout the state that all schools have athletic trainers and or a physician release a child back to sport or even to the classroom. So if they get a concussion, they have to be educated, and they have to be reviewed by assessed by an athletic trainer and a physician to determine what's the next step, and then they also have to be given different details of what they have to do for class and do all those kind of things. So it's kind of a big deal, and there's a lot of new things that we're doing to make that a policy, basically.
So this year, if a young man sustains a concussion on a Friday night, he may not be going to school the following week?
Correct. There's a lot of new theories out, not theories, but research that's been done about how to handle a concussion. Back in the day, people used to think, don't let them sleep, keep them awake, just kind of keep them busy, don't let them rest their brain. Well, it is very clear that it's not that evident anymore. Actually, rest and sleep, completely keeping technology out of the face of a child is the biggest important thing, because you want to rest their brain, because a concussion is truly a brain injury. So you want to make sure that you're doing the correct things to handle that. And going to school is making their brains work, and so it's not letting them heal. And then obviously technology is all in our face with our phones and our computers and everything else, that even taking those devices and television all away to completely make them rest-free is the best way to handle taking care of a concussion properly. Lots of sleep. Obviously, you don't
want
them to. Don't want them to go into a coma necessarily, but you know, that kind of rest.
It is amazing though how, as we get smarter with technology, how the old school remedies are not just wrong, but in a lot of ways, completely wrong.
Right. And a lot of the old philosophy of he just got his bell rung kind of thing. Yeah. That's still a concussion. That's the minor steps of the way that they can. There's so many symptoms involved. They may get their bell rung where they feel dizzy. That is truly a concussion. So those are the types of things you can't just joke around. You have to take seriously as well. So
Melissa, actually, what happens to the brain when a concussion takes place?
The brain kind of gets jostled around in their skull, basically. So they kind of get a bruise on their brain is technically what happens. You can kind of get a little bit of a brain bleed, just like any other sort of brain injury when you're in a car accident or any of those kind of things. And a concussion isn't always directly related to football players either. They can get hit in the head a lot more in football, as we know, but it could be a volleyball player falling onto the ground and her head gets kind of jostled around from a rough play, or it's very, very prominent in soccer as well, because that is a pretty high contact sport as well. So it's not just your typical football players. I mean, it can happen, and a football player can even get a concussion from not even touching another athlete. The high impact of their hit, they can fall onto the ground and their head kind of get jostled around, and if it's high impact enough, they can get a concussion from doing that as well. So,
and sometimes like the effects, they're not immediate too, because like
exactly.
My brother, for example, he was playing football and he was in a game, and he had gotten hit right before halftime. And he seemed to be fine, and they went into the locker room, and all of a sudden, you know, we got called out of the stands. Hey, you need to go down to the weight room, because they're going to take your brother to the hospital, and he apparently, you know, he got really woozy, and
yeah,
it's kind of a delayed effect.
Yeah, there's a lot of the National Athletic Trainers Association has basically a protocol of signs and symptoms and different things that are associated with it, and it's involved in a lot of different things, your thinking, your physical being, your emotions, and even just how you handle it with sleep as well. But when you're thinking, there's obviously a kid could not even have a concussion, but they could be acting very, very strange. Their personalities can change, the way that they I've seen kids where they absolutely have no concussion, but they go from the nicest kid to the meanest kid in seconds. And it's just unbelievable how they get violent. I've had to take helmets away from kids because they're wanting to try to go back in because they think, oh, it's okay. Well, no, it's not. And a lot of times that's the benefit of an athletic trainer. You're with those kids all the time. You see how they're supposed to be. And then all of a sudden a light switch, and some stranger may not know, he's just angry from being in the game. And that's the benefit of having that athletic trainer with them all the time and knowing those kids and being able to take care of them in that sense. So
I've commented that on a couple different broadcasts. Oh, their helmet's been taken away by the athletic trainer, so they're not coming back in tonight. We talked about kind of some of the old school things being not exactly accurate. What about the actual concussion test? Like the old school concussion test, you think of the trainer going out there, putting up two fingers. How many fingers am I holding up? Close enough. You said four, but you were close, right. So you're going back in. What's different in reality?
Well, thank you for bringing that up, because in the past week and a half, I have actually been going to Nokomis, which is a school that we go to and outreach to. We have just recently hired an athletic trainer that's going to be covering football games for us there. And then I've been to Hillsboro as well. In Nokomis, I went to volleyball and football. And then here in Hillsboro, I've been to football, volleyball, and soccer. And we have a machine called the Biodex Balance Machine. And there's actually a testing tool on it that is a concussion management program. And so they have a pre-test where they test their balance. Basically, we get a sway index number. And so that number is based off of four different tests. The test is basically about a minute and a half long. They do four different stances where they're standing on a hard surface. Then they do that for 20 seconds. Each one is 20 seconds long. And then the second one, they do the same thing, but with their eyes closed. And then we add a piece of foam to it. They have their eyes open, and then they close their eyes. So in the end, it gives us a grand total number of what their sway index is. And generally, your number is going to be different from year to year, that kind of stuff. It's balanced, truly. So a kid could be completely normal but very weak in his core or his hips. So in the beginning of the preseason, he's going to have a bad balance kind of thing just because he's weak. It doesn't necessarily mean he has a concussion. He's just kind of weak in another sense. But that gives us a balance for that individual, their own little number. So then if a kid gets a concussion, there is a post-test that we take. And so it's going to, our essential goal is that we want them to have similar to that number. If they have a true concussion, that number is going to be off the charts, obviously, compared to what their norm was. So that is our goal, is we've done all these preseason ones. And then if a kid presents with symptoms, and there's so many other factors involved, they could have no headache and other symptoms and completely be fine with balance, but they could have a headache for a whole week and their balance be completely fine. So there's so many things involved in it that this is just one big picture that we've trying to take a step into it. So it's helping us get there with that sense. And so obviously when they do are feeling asymptomatic and they're not having any issues, we retest them again for the third time, and then hopefully their number is very similar to their original number.
Melissa Van Giesen, athletic trainer with Hillsboro Area Hospital, joining us here on Sports Saturday, talking about concussions, and not just in football. And in a lot of ways, Hillsboro Area Hospital has been so helpful around the area. You've been involved, of course, with the Hillsboro football program for a number of years, but you're talking about going to different schools, different communities now, talking about things. Talk about the branch out effort here through Hillsboro Area Hospital and just raising awareness for the local schools.
Yeah, and it's more just about education to everyone, and that's kind of what this law is about. Is not only do you have to have the right person to release you to play as an athletic trainer and or physician, but you also, the big part of educating the parents, letting them know what a real concussion is, how to handle it, what to do with their child, and then the after effects of what you should expect, and how you need to go back to play and how you need to go back to school. Because not only is there a process of how they need to be released, but returning back to that play when they're completely asymptomatic, you want to them to not just go back out and start hitting again. They have to start kind of progress their self into the game and not just go right at it full force.
What's the best thing that parents can do if their child does sustain a concussion? We're talking about, it sounds like, just kind of leave them alone in a way and let nature take its course. I'm sure that's not an easy thing for a parent
to do. Right. And it is kind of, especially if you get that higher involved symptom where they're having personality issues. It's just basically making sure that they're not getting over anxious and they're resting and they're back in the old days, it used to be that you can't take any medicine at all. And that's not necessarily true. Taking an anti-inflammatory, no, you don't want to do something like that. But it is recommended and okay that you can take some over-the-counter Tylenol and manage it in a headache, things like that. And those... So you obviously want to control and take care of your headache, but you don't want to just go over the top. So, and that's kind of the nice thing about what the IHSA is doing as well, is they're making us do all these things. And then by next year at this time, in September of 2016, they're making every school have a policy on how they need to return to play. And it will involve an athletic trainer, the school nurse, the administrators, and those kind of things to make sure that everybody's doing the correct step to make sure that that kid is taken care of to get the concussion handled correctly. So, and the IHSA is mandating them to do that.
Melissa, we really appreciate you coming in this morning and talking about this. Anything else that you would like people to know, whether it's just about concussions in general or about the law?
If at any point I'm an athletic trainer, I'm available to help take care of athletes. That's what I do. So if you're concerned or unsure, I work at Fort Hillsbury Hospital at Teamwork Rehab. So they're welcome anytime to give me a call. I'm not sure, that kind of stuff. I go to the high school all the time and check on the athletes there. But if I'm not available, they always know where to find me.
Melissa, before we let you go, explain the difference between an athletic trainer and a physical therapist.
An athletic trainer is, it's easy to talk about the name because they deal a lot more with athletes. So a physical therapist and athletic trainers get educated in a lot of similar things, but athletic trainers focus a lot on more how to return to play with athletes, how to do different exercises with athletes, what's appropriate for their athletic environment. And physical therapists are a lot more of the in a clinic setting where they're dealing with daily functional tasks of how someone needs to learn how to do different things in their home or get around and do that kind of stuff. And yes, they do work with younger populations as well, but athletic trainers really help focus on the athlete.
Melissa, thank you so much for coming in this morning. And as always, I hope your season is very eventless.
Yes, thank you very much.
Melissa Van Giesen with Hillsborough Area Hospital. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We've got a lot more to get to. We're back with it following this.
And WSMI Sports Saturday rolls on this Saturday morning. Quick reminder, Cardinals baseball coming up tomorrow afternoon on AM 1540. Cards and the Padres, 2:15 on WSMI AM 1540, where the Cardinals fly by day.
Thank you, Tito. As our middle school basketball preview show continues here on WSMI Sports. Oh, wait, no. No.
I have something to bring up before we leave the concussion issue. I'd be curious to get your take on it, Dan, since you coach football. Do you think the style of and teaching and coaching tackling is a big contributor in these concussions now? How kids are tackling now, is that being a heavy contributor to that?
Well, it is, and we all watch football on TV or watch even not even, and you see the heads up football movement that's going on right now. Being a Seattle Seahawks fan, I'm very familiar with I know. But the Hawk tackling, they have a specific style. When the helmet-to-helmet contact rule went in, they became proactive, and they are the least penalized team in the league on helmet-to-helmet tackles. And that is a program that has also started filtering down into the college and the high school ranks of Hawk tackling, which is it's just a named way of, say, heads-up tackling. But they are. There's a movement within football. You know, when I remember being a high school football player in the mid-'80s, and when they set us over in the bleachers and we put stickers on our helmets and they told us the head is not a weapon, don't do that. And then they took us off the field, over to the practice field, and told us to stick our head down and put it in his chest. You know, it was always kind of counterproductive for me. I thought, you just told me not to. Now you're teaching me too. And I think that practice is really being coached out of the younger athletes, and they're trying to get their heads up and protect themselves as much as possible.
That's Dan Newkirk here on Sports Saturday, and you will hear Dan throughout the year on our high school broadcasts on Friday night, and we're going to have a doubleheader coming up on Friday. And Chad Easterday joining us right now on Sports Saturday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers. Chad, we always appreciate your time here on Saturday mornings, and I can only imagine, you know, the start of the season probably keeps you up at night, but I would think your initial appearance on Saturday morning sports here on WSMI just keeps you pacing in the evening.
Oh, yeah. Exactly correct. So,
Chad,
how are you guys this morning?
We're very good. Before we look forward at your team this year, let's take a look back at the last few years. As you've had a lot of success here, but people are going to see a different-looking Cavalier squad this year than they've seen the last 2 to 3 seasons.
Yeah, you know, I said obviously people come, people go. You know, we are no different than the years in the past. So I think we're definitely the motto has been reload, not rebuild. So you know, those are things that we've been preaching to kids. And you know, it's obviously, I know you're going to ask me, it's different not having Job Easterday there. I mean, that's definitely a different on a personal level for me. But you know. We've got some kids that step up, and I think they're ready to keep the Cardinal tradition going.
So who will be taking the snaps under center on Friday night?
Adam Walton.
And talk
Adam Walton, he's a junior this year. He run our JV program last year, had a great JV season. And I know people don't put a ton of stock in those types of things, but, you know, we're back in a situation, I think, where – you know, we're going to have that two-year starter evolve again as we've had traditionally before Job Easterday.
And, Chad, you guys won by such good margins last year that your JV team, they did get a fair amount of snaps on Friday night.
Yeah, I think our JV team saw quite a bit of time. And, you know, our program, we run the same thing on Monday night as we do on Friday night. We pride ourselves in having a program and that sort of thing. So, you know, it's been a smooth transition and, you know, really haven't missed a beat.
The coach, obviously, there's a lot, not just your team, but throughout the South Central Conference, there's a lot of turnover going on. But your week one matchup, a very big matchup as you face the Roxana Shells down at Roxana. And Roxana, one of those teams who's returning a lot of players. Talk about some of the things you're going to have to do against them in week one.
You know, first of all, I mean, they went to the second round of the playoffs just like we did. So, I mean, they're coming off a great high down there, and rightfully so. I think Pat Keith's done a great job and, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, it'll be a tough opponent. They bring back five starters on both sides of the football, bring back the quarterback, have a running back, you know, stuff like that. So I think it's definitely a situation where we'll have to have our ducks in a row.
And no chance to ease into the season, Chad, as you're walking straight into a street fight down there.
Yeah, you know, we had a great, great game last year, 40-40 at halftime. And, you know, it's just one of those ones I've not been part of before. And, you know, it's just a great atmosphere. And in the South Central, when you play every conference game matters, I think you got to be prepared week one.
Chad, let's talk a little bit about your defense. You mentioned the 40 points they gave up in the first half last year. But after that, I mean, it was shut down. Are you expecting the same type of effort from the squad this year?
Yeah, I think we are. You know, we a lot of kids coming back. We return both inside linebackers, return most of the defensive front for us. We do have to replace some DBs in the backfield. I think two of the three were gone. So we have some replacements there that we think are really up to the challenge, but may not have been battle-tested as much as the previous years.
And, of course, with Carlinville, you have running backs just in stables. You just start pulling them out whenever you need be. So who will be the first young men up this year, Chad?
Well, you know, everyone's talking about how Jacob Dixon had such a great year last year, and he did. So, I mean, I think we're probably going to leave him in the slot this year as a wide receiver. You just can't take the – he had 42 catches, almost a school record. So I think we're kind of going to be running back by committee. Kids like Brady Eaglehoff, Dylan Chisholm, Mitchell Bolamy. Obviously, Dixon may get a few carries back there, but you know, we may be able to get more of a running back by committee, which will be a different face for us than what we've had the last couple years.
Jacob Dixon, though, really, to me, the second half of last year, he really started to stand out every single week.
Yeah, I mean, the kid's a natural athlete, and, you know, there's no hiding behind those things, but you know, if he wanted to play right tackle, he'd do a great job at right tackle. He's one of those types of kids. So, you know, I think he's one of those versatile kids that you're going to have to be prepared for, and we're going to try to move him around the best we can and, you know, see how it goes.
Coach, I noticed that Jacob missed a lot of the wrestling season, the track season, with an injury. Can you give us an update on how he's doing there? Is he ready to go 100%?
Yeah, you know what? He tore his labrum in his shoulder, and it was recommended to him that he actually could have come back, I think, for track a little bit, but the rehab process and what he had missed was well worth him to sit out. He's 100%, has been since about July 20th. So, you know, we went through a little scrimmage and have a couple of those, and he's back to lifting weights full time. So, you know, we're expecting nothing but him to be 100%.
Chad, to get you out of here on a special teams question, how tricky is the special teams, especially in that first game of the year when you expect it to really be a one-score game?
You know, I think they're critical. And as you guys know, I love the special teams, and our teams always seem to excel at those types of things. Hayden Thompson has done a filled-in for the kicker. I think he had a lot of weight last year to fill for Barry Stewart, and he's worked hard in the offseason and has just improved tenfold. So, you know, I think it's a thing that you got to be prepared for. You don't want to definitely – it can win or lose you the game one. That's definitely for sure.
Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers. We always appreciate your time on Saturday mornings. Good luck on Friday night, and we'll talk to you next week, sir.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Chad Easterday, and they've got a program over there at Carlinville, and it will be very interesting because, as Chad said, it's a reload situation, not rebuild.
I love your analogy of just going to the stable and finding another running
back. Isn't that what it seems?
It's true.
I mean, it really seems that way.
It does seem that way, yes. Yeah.
By week five, there'll be a kid running the ball for Carlinville like, who is that?
Well, yeah.
He's really fast. Who is that?
Well, he's like third string, and then, oh, well, he's getting a lot of playing time, a lot of carries now. Yeah.
Just that's one of the reasons why they're good year after year.
Yeah. Just reload.
That's right. But that week one matchup, what a huge game. Mm-hmm. And, Dan, from a coaching perspective, when there is no preseason, it's not a new thing. There's never been preseason in high school sports. But when every game matters like it does in the South Central, on the road at Roxana week one, that's a tough spot.
Yeah, it really is, especially in a situation that Coach Easterday is, where he's got, although a lot of very successful JV kids moving up to the varsity level, I'm sure those first couple of series are going to be a little nervous just trying to see how the kids react to being the guy, you know, to being the guy in the game with the Carlinville pressure. It'd be a fun one to see. It'd be interesting to see how those kids react. And just historically, they always react very well and do a very good job. So I'm sure he has very high expectations for them.
And you know that those Roxana fans know they're ready this year.
They're angry. They're angry, okay?
It's an interesting crowd when they're not a real strong team. So, I anticipate them coming out full guns. It'll be a heated environment.
I guess pretty good test for those young Carlinville kids to go in week one.
And, well, grow up in a hurry.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have. Hey, there's only nine games. It always goes fast. Right. They're all important. Right. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to catch up with Matt Trohaw of the IHSA. We will do that following these messages.
And WSMI Sports Saturday on this 22nd day of August continues. That means we are less than 1 week away from Football Friday.
Indeed we are. Coming up on Friday night, we will have Litchfield at Greenville. Also, we will have Southwestern and Hillsboro on FM 106, 105.3 The Ox. It all streams online at WSMIRadio.com. Happy to be joined now with Matt Trohaw from the IHSA. Good enough to give us a few minutes of his time here. Matt, thank you so much. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Football season's actually started for me here. I'm at a flag football tournament for my son. We're in Eureka, Illinois.
There we go. That's a beautiful thing. And for you, once football season starts, it's kind of a whirlwind for you all the way through the state finals.
Yeah, it is. You know, all the seasons get busy once we reach the state tournaments. We'll have one every weekend, you know, starting with golf in late October and working through Thanksgiving weekend with state football, which goes back to DeKalb this year. So it's busy, but it's a fun time of year.
There's been some big news coming out of the IHSA here in the last couple of weeks, and perhaps the biggest one is the new concussion policy that now is going to be state law coming forward. Just kind of talk, if you could, Matt, about the process that the IHSA had going through this, the involvement with the state, and the different things that went into this new concussion policy.
Well, this was one we weren't involved in quite as much as some of the other ones because it dealt more with the return to learn is what we call it, with setting up a concussion team within each school, to assess, you know, when a student has suffered a concussion and comes back. We've really dealt with the athletic end of things and getting them cleared and if they're safe to come back on the field. But hadn't dealt as much with the classroom aspect of that, and that's what Representative Durkin's new legislation does. And, as we worked with him on that, we were full supporters of that and are glad to see it get passed into law, although it may now be delayed for 1 year is what we're starting to hear out of Springfield. But I think most schools are going to implement it anyway as soon as they can, because I think they recognize that it's a good thing and an important thing.
And this, the concussion issue, is really a big threat to football as a whole, but especially you start talking about high school football and these types of things, you see lawsuits coming into play, and that would be something that would be a very difficult thing for high school football in the state to overcome, I would imagine.
Well, yeah, I think it's you know, it's a very real thing right now, and you know, we are in the middle of a class action concussion lawsuit related to football, and you know, that'll continue to play out over the coming months and probably the coming years, potentially. But you know, I think it's a real threat. But I think that we've also taken, you know, I think we've taken some great steps to reduce contact and to make the game safer through education and through a lot of different methods, really. And you know, I think sometimes we get unfairly compared, high school does, to what happens in the pros and the college. And I think it's, you know, it's very different games. And so, you know, a lot of our kids, the majority of our kids, aren't going to go on to play beyond high school. And, you know, we think we offer as safe an experience as possible at the high school level.
And, Matt, not just concussions, but the IHSA, you guys have always been proactive in trying to make sure that you have the best and safest environment for your athletes.
Well, absolutely we have. You know, we were one of the first associations in the country to develop a sports medicine advisory committee, and we have some of the most respected doctors in the state. It was kind of funny. I had a reporter from a Chicago news station who's doing a story on concussions and wanted to talk to some leading doctors, but who weren't associated with the IHSA because they didn't want to have, you know, any appearance of bias. And she had given me the first three or four people that she had planned to talk to, and I said, okay, yeah, that person's on our committee, that person's on our committee, that person used to be on our committee, that person's been on this ad hoc committee. So I think it really proved that we work with the best and the brightest, and, you know, we have incredible resources from a national level with the NFHS, and we've had greater collaboration with both the NFL and the NCAA because it is such an overarching issue. So, you know, I think that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, myself and the 2004 other people in our office, we're not doctors. That's not where our expertise is. So we rely on all these medical experts, and we'll continue to do that.
Talking with Matt Trohall from the IHSA here on WSMI Sports Saturday. And as far as the on-the-field competition goes, there was talk in the offseason about a change in the playoff format. That measure, it failed. So when folks get into the high school football season coming up here with regular season play beginning on Friday into the postseason, they can anticipate the same playoff format in the fall, correct?
The format, yes, but the seeding of it has changed a little bit. If you recall, in the past, what we've done is we split the state in half with, you know, by class with the 32 teams, and then we would do a 1-16 seeding. But if there was travel issues, you know, two games with 150 miles or more, then we split them up into what we called quadrants. So it was the eight teams that were closest to each other. But we have eliminated the quadrants in 1A through 6A this year. So it'll be that straight 1-16 seeding. So I think that's going to – coaches have been really happy with that. It might give them a chance to see some different – schools and maybe not have, you know, those conference type rematches early on in the postseason. And then in our two largest classes, 7A and 8A, because they are all with the exception of about three or four schools concentrated in Chicagoland, they're going to return to the 1-32 seeding. So it's going to be an interesting first year, and coaches seem excited about it, and it's good to see that, you know, kind of energy and a little bit of rejuvenation on that.
And the same sort of concept, I guess, is being applied for the basketball season coming up, too, with, I guess, the term sectional complex.
Correct, yeah. And, you know, certainly football is different in that you only have certain schools qualify, you know, unlike basketball where everybody's in the postseason. But, yeah, we're going to go to what we call a sectional complex format that we use for just a year or two, right before the gas kind of spiked up to $4, and we went to the back to the regional, the true regional seating. But yeah, it's going to essentially, if you took a sectional from last year and let's say it had 20 basketball teams in it and then it would have four regionals, you know, what you'll do this year is you'll still have those four regional sites, but you'll essentially split that sectional in half. You'll seed all those teams and you'll separate the 1, 2, 3, and 4, and they'll all go to different sites. And then, so you'll then have the potential to have, you know, the based on the seeding, the best four teams in that sectional. And so it should make for you know, a little less of, you know, we hear a lot about, well, oh, the sectional championship was decided in the regional final. You know, it should create a little bit better competition at the sectional level, and I think everybody's in favor of that.
Absolutely. But don't worry, Matt, somebody will still find something to complain about.
Are you sure?
I'm fairly confident that will wind up being the case. Matt Trohall with the IHSA joining us here.
You're probably right. You're probably right.
Matt, what else? Obviously, a change at the top of the IHSA with Marty Hickman stepping aside. Just kind of talk about what it's like to work for the IHSA and kind of what – I mean, this organization is fantastic. You've got other states' high school associations that come in to see how you guys do business.
No, and that's funny because when you talk about the complaints and stuff like that, and I came into this not really knowing what to expect, and what I have found since I got here is that Illinois is really probably one of the most respected associations in the country, if not the most, and we've been way ahead on lots of different things, whether it be internet, website, or sports medicine, like we talked about. We've just been really forward thinking here, and I think that's in part because we have great membership. We have very active membership that, this state just has great tradition in high school sports. And, you take some of the complaints, there aren't necessarily, people give us more power than we have sometimes. They say, well, you did this or you did that. A lot of times it's, no, our board of directors made that decision or our membership voted this rule in. You just kind of roll with the punches on that and try to educate people. But, it's a great job, and I really enjoy it. And based on my own high school experiences, I just know how beneficial they were for me. And so it's great to support that mission.
Matt, one of the great things I think of the Illinois High School Association is not just sports, it's activities, it's music, it's drama, it's so many other things that other similar type organizations in nearby states just don't offer.
Well, I'm glad you said that. Yeah, that's something that we're very proud of. As you said, a lot of state high school associations are sports only. We offer a wide array of activities from chess to debate to speech. We became the first association in the country about 6 years ago to start a bass fishing state final. And, I talked about our mission. What our belief is that kids, when they're involved in a school team or an activity or a sport, that they do better. They're going to have better attendance. They're going to stay out of trouble. They're going to have better grades. And so that's what our goal is, to have something for every kid. If you can't do football or basketball, but you love to fish, you can be on that team. Or if you love chess, or you love, acting and get involved in the drama, we want everybody to be involved, and that's the goal at the end of the day, not necessarily to win that state championship.
Matt, has the bass fishing worked out like everyone at the association had hoped for?
Aside from the rain that we've had at state finals a few years, it's been pretty awesome. I'll tell you what, there's been a lot of people who laughed about it when it first came about, and then have experienced it. One that sticks out to me is Les Winkler at the Southern Illinois newspaper down south. He wrote a column when it first came about, kind of laughing and making fun of it. And then a year after the first state final, he wrote one saying, I take it all back. It was an incredible event. Seeing how passionate the kids were and the skill level. It has been. It's been great, and the growth has been very steady. And I'm not a huge fisherman, and it's not luck. I mean, you keep seeing the same schools and the same kids coming back year after year, and you realize that they know what they're doing.
Matt, one of the great things though about the Illinois High School Association is you put on probably the most superb state tournaments in the history of mankind. Then when the state basketball tournament rolls around, man, March Madness is.
Terry's already ready.
Oh, I'm telling you, man, it's time to get pumped.
Well, I appreciate that, guys. And if folks have never been to our track and field state final or our cross-country state final, I mean, those are some of the biggest and the best of their kind in the country, and they are incredible events. Cross-country is one that blows me away in Peoria. You'll have 5,000 people on the infield, watching these kids run. It's really an experience. And really, they all are. If you go to the bowling state finals, you're going to see people come in with step ladders and periscopes. They pack it in. They get up on these ladders so they can see over and see what's going on. Everything sort of has its own unique aspect to it, and sort of has its own little community in that sport or that activity, and they get behind it, and especially come, state final and state tournament time.
That's what makes high school sports so special. Matt Trohall with the IHSA, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, and enjoy the season, or seasons as it is for you.
Yeah, anytime, guys. Anytime.
All right, thanks a lot. Dan, you heard Matt talk about the track and field experience for the state tournament. You know all about it, and you were kind of just nodding in agreement when he was talking about what a top-notch event it is.
Right, and I'm not sure what we're coming on this year. It's closing in on 125 years, I believe, and it's one of the oldest state track meets in the country. And and I've obviously, being involved in track, have been to about the last 25 or 26 state track meets, and you're bumping elbows with the University of Illinois, with UCLA, with USC, with recruiters coming into mm-hmm. Illinois to look at our top kids. And it's always kind of a great feeling to watch these tremendous athletes out on the track and the field areas, and knowing that we have some of the best competition in the state. And I think it's because of the event that IHSA puts on that the kids want to be involved in it. They want to be a part of that and be at Eastern Illinois and experience it.
You feel big time.
Oh, absolutely.
When you're at an IHSA postseason event, even just a regional
absolutely.
Or a sectional, there's a feel in the air.
Cross country, for example, that's really not what you would consider one of your high spectator sports. If you're ever in the Peoria area, it's a loop area at Detweiler Park, and it's incredible as the runners go by. It's like a wave of runners, of the 5,000 to 6,000 fans running across the field to get to the other side to cheer their one kid on. And it's just, and it gives you goosebumps to watch so much involvement. It's a free event. They don't charge to get into that one because it's a big park and it'd be just a logistical nightmare. And it's just an incredible experience watching the wave of fans going back and forth across the field, going crazy. Easy for their athletes. It's a lot of fun.
He also mentioned bass fishing, which is kind of surprising. That's not bigger around here, because you would assume just the area that we're in, that bass fishing would be huge around this area.
I'm going to guess funding would be my guess, but I'm with you on that.
I know there's some logistical issues. For example, one thing is there has to be a boat with an adult that's running that boat. So the kids, when they go out to fish, they're not manning their own or captaining their own boat. And so I think you got to find members of the community to take part in that. And there are some logistical things. I was just back at my high school reunion in El Paso, and we had a school tour, and the principal told us they had over 20 kids on their bass fishing team. And I was kind of taken back. I thought, wow, that's a lot. And they'd got, I think, second or third place in state with one of their teams the year before. So they said it's really taken off there, and it's huge.
We need to get to a break here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We will come back with more following these messages.
And don't forget, once our high school football broadcasts begin, we stream them online at WSMIRadio.com and WAOX.com, and we'll start doing that next Friday night.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, T. Toad. Alongside David Jenkins, I'm Tim Mize and Dan Newkirk in our WSMI studios here for the final Sports Saturday before high school football kicks off. But so many other fall sports that are involved here. Volleyball getting underway, if not already, a few matches being played here. And Dan, you're a busy guy. You'll be calling games for us on the Tally Broadcasting Stations here on the football field. But you're the track and field guy, and we were just talking off air. You had a golf match last night.
We did. We had a golf match starting last night, boys and girls. It's golf is something new to me. I've been doing it for the last couple of years. I've been a passionate hack in golf for years. So Don Gersh, after 34 years, decided he didn't want to continue on. So I was happy to step in and take over.
I loved playing golf in high school, being on the golf team. That was so much fun. Nothing better. You get out of school early.
Yeah.
You get to play for free. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
Right. And we get to play. For example, our boys are going up to play the rail. They're getting to play the rail on Tuesday. So for free. Right. It's that's the thing I constantly remind them of. Don't be afraid to take a minute and take it in, and that you're getting to play these really nice courses and experience really golf in our area at some of its finest courses.
And the golf meet, I would imagine, is maybe similar to track and field in just a sense, individual, multiple schools at a single match.
Right, where there is that team aspect of scoring, but it is very individual. It's a very individual thing that, and what was really different, because I've been a wrestling coach, a track coach, a lot of individual sports, the longevity of the event where, you know, it's two and a half hours where you've got we're very young. We are very freshman, sophomore dominated team. And so I've got these 14, 15 year old boys that have to concentrate 40 times or hopefully less over a 2 to 2.5 hour period. And that's really the biggest challenge, getting them to lock in and concentrate. You know, no, you don't have to hit a great round, hit one good shot. and then go hit another one. And as easy as that is to say, getting them to do that is it's quite a challenge.
Yeah, when you're playing well, it's a really easy game, you know?
Oh, right.
Like nothing
right.
to it.
And then golf happens.
And
I always tell them.
Happens,
I always
right.
tell them, then golf happens and things seem to go south and you just got to kind of relocate yourself. But what a great parody to life. You know, you're moving along through life, and then life happens, and you got to recover. You got to get through it. And I think that golf is a nice relationship with life, that learning those skills of persevering, sticking to it. You know, you can't just walk off the course and quit right. because you double bogeyed a hole or you took double par. You had to go play the next hole.
It's like the tin cup moment.
right.
If you
got
to send there and empty your bag to get it over to prove you can do it, that's what you got to do.
Right, and we had a similar experience last night on the ninth hole at Staunton where we were plunking balls into the water and kids were walking off with frowns. And what do you hey, and I tell them jokes. I try to lighten them up. I say, hey, we get to go play another hole. You get to, you know, nobody's going to shoot your dog for this.
right.
Let's go. Keep playing, you know. So, and it is. It's a great parody with life.
WSMI Sports Saturday here on FM 106. High school football coming up on Friday night. We will have the Litchfield-Greenville broadcast, the Southwestern Hillsboro broadcast for you on the first weekend of the year. And Dan, you will be involved in the Hillsboro-Southwestern broadcast. And over the years, that has been a ball game that has been a field goal game.
Right. And it really doesn't matter which team's good, which team's not good. They both get excited for that first game of the year. In fact, my first game that I broadcast was over at Southwestern with Gary. And man, it was just a barn burner of a game that I really thought that Hillsboro would walk over and just handle them just on the past season, on what I thought they had coming back. And, you know, everybody's a state champion in week one.
Right.
You know, we're all the team in week one. And these are two teams that really come in, I think, with high expectations at the beginning of the year and just clash. And it's a lot of fun. I'm excited to have this game.
And this is one of those games, even though it's week one, this could be a ball game. You get down to the end of the year, it could wind up having playoff ramifications. Winner might be in, loser might not.
Well, we talked earlier, you get nine games.
Yeah.
You get nine shots at this thing, and everybody's trying to look at their schedule right now, trying to find those five games, and then looking at the playoff points are going to come along with it. And if they don't think they got the playoff points, we've got to find that sixth win. Mm-hmm. And when you're looking back to week one, and that was the game that, and boy, I made a mistake, my game calling, I had this kid there and that kid, we moved positions. It's big. There's a lot of implications. It's not like early season baseball or basketball or track or things where you can kind of feel your way into it because you're going to make the regional. Everybody makes it. You know, it's that week one could be a huge game.
How hard is that as a coach to not look back at the end of the year and just kick yourself for something at the beginning of the year? Is that a fairly common occurrence in coaching?
Oh, it's impossible. It's impossible. You know, the coach that doesn't look back, falling just short and second-guessing decisions made or things like that, probably doesn't call themselves a coach.
Right.
You know, they don't have the competitive spirit. You don't have that fire. You don't have that, you know, when you're looking and already planning what you're going to do the next season, the mistakes I made, I'm not going to make them again next year. And it's impossible. You're going to look back and wonder what if.
And Dan, as a coach, you're not only teaching, but you yourself are being taught. And that's what people tend to forget, that it's a two-way street with a coach and a team.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, this is going to be 25 years in Litchfield for me. And I just said to someone the other day, my greatest blessing as a coach is the kids I've got to spend that time with. I really honestly believe I've learned more from them than they have learned from me. And then what we do with that information. And again, that's where the coaching comes in. What am I going to do with that information that I'm learning to the kids that I can apply mm-hmm. to the next crop of kids coming along? How can they benefit from the previous kids that have come along? And that's where, you know, that's where we get paid the big bucks, as we like to say in coaching, why we make the big bucks, is applying that information and those learning experiences so that hopefully we don't make them again and another generation of kids can benefit from the mistakes that we made.
Dan Newkirk joins us. You're going to be the voice of the Litchfield football team again this
year
for home games?
I am. Home games, yep. Home games. And then on our off nights, I'm going to work here for the radio station, which I've not done the last couple of years. And
we've missed you.
And I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we're glad to have you back.
Absolutely.
Buddy.
I enjoy doing it. I love working with Gary, so I'm looking forward to that. And yeah, it's going to be good to be back on the air.
So you've got a little inside look at Litchfield, obviously, for a variety of reasons. From the outside, from me looking in, it seems to me that Pat Rentz just kind of has what Litchfield has been searching for the last number of years.
He is just such an energetic kid. And I'm blessed to know Pat. He's a very good friend of mine. He was an athlete. He ran track for me, played football. And he is a kid at heart. He is a kid at heart. He is energy personified. And, you know, and I'm always challenging the kids that, you know, feed into that. You need to feed into that energy, and, you know, that can really sustain and carry a program. And he's got that. He's young and really is doing a good job, really doing a great job with our football program.
And not trying to date you or anything, because you're really not an old guy, but he's one who you coached.
Yes. Yeah, I remember Patrick.
That's what happens when you start coaching at age 18, right?
I remember making fun of Patrick at U-Belts. Their dad used to bring all the boys, and all the Rince boys would be at U-Belts, and it was like herding cats. He had all the Rince boys going in four different directions, and Tim was trying to herd the cats, and Pat was probably the most active cat of them all, and he's still like that. He is just, if you watch him on the sideline, he's up and down. He's high-fiving kids. I can remember when he was a senior and he came off the field and had made a great play and chest bumped one of our assistant coaches, who was also young and had a lot of energy, and split his nose open.
Uh-oh.
And Patrick is going to be that coach now that probably is going to get his nose split open someday. Just getting enthusiastic with the kids.
That's awesome. Hey, we got a few minutes left here in the program. Gabe Cesaretti of Nokomis joining us here, the head coach of the Skins. And Gabe, thank you for a few minutes of your time. And have you ever lost, I guess, clarity for a moment when you're on the sideline and go to headbutt a player and remember, wait a minute, I'm not wearing a helmet?
Oh, yes, I did. I think it was my first year as the head coach here in 2006. We beat Auburn to win a share of the conference title, and one of our enthusiastic linemen come up to give me a hug at the end of the game and face first right into me and busted my nose right open on it. And I think Channel 20 was there filming it.
And you probably still have the imprint, right?
Yeah, I can remember that what they say, yeah.
Gabe Cesaretti joining us here on Sports Saturday. Gabe, give us a little insight to the Nokomis Redskins here. I know that numbers may be a little bit down.
Yeah, our numbers are definitely down this year. We got 25 total, and we've stayed at 25 from beginning to end. And, you know, nobody's quit on us. So, I mean, we've got a bunch of they're enthusiastic. We got some good senior leadership. We only have, you know, we got five seniors, but you wouldn't know that our numbers are low, or expectations are still the same. Our seniors come out here day in, day out, and they've been great leaders so far, picking up the young kids, because we're obviously going to be playing a lot of sophomores this year. And these guys get along great. We couldn't ask for better work ethic, and we don't expect anything different here. Just fewer guys standing on the sideline.
And your football team is also, we understand, has dropped the Ramsey Co-op, so now you should be a 1A football playoff team as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, if we can get back in the playoffs, we should be definitely a 1A team, yes.
Gabe, obviously, being in the Prairie State the last couple of years, five wins isn't going to get you in based on playoff points, history would suggest. So you need those six wins. So that makes these first two non-conference games so important for your squad.
Yeah, and not just for us, it's also for the rest of the conference, too, because it's nice to see the rest of our conference pick up some non-conference wins, and that gets points for everybody. So, we'll definitely be watching the scoreboard, and we hope that everybody in our conference gets a couple W's.
Talk a little bit about that week one opponent. Going to be tough.
Yeah, Monticello, that's a great coach group. They got a lot of talent coming back. We know they have a great quarterback that's, back at the helm for them. We'll have to prepare ourselves big time for what he can do. And, they have some good receivers and running backs returning. And they're good on the line. That is a good all-around program. So, we know we got our work cut out for us in week one. And we just got to go there and get everything we got. And we got to be in shape because we don't have a lot of subs to come in.
Can you believe it's here, Gabe?
No, we just talked about that this morning. Just walked off the practice field, and we talked about how we got to bring it all week, because we've talked about it for months and months now, and it's here. It's game week. There's nothing to worry about this week except for Monticello Friday night.
Absolutely. Gabe Cesaretti, thank you for a few minutes of your time here this morning. We will talk to you next week, sir.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
All right. Game week. That, as a coach, Dan, I would imagine that is a nice sound when it's game week.
It is. It's time to finally test all the things you've been working on all summer, and you get to hit guys with other color helmets on, and everybody's excited. I'm assuming most teams came off their scrimmage last night, which, the big fear all night is everybody stay healthy. No matter what happens in the scrimmage, as long as we walk off with everybody we walked on with, it was a successful scrimmage. But it is. It's time to knock heads with other colors and other teams. So it's exciting.
Dan, what is it, and you've been in involved in football and a lot of different sports, but what is it about the fall season? And there's other sports that start, but football has that special place, that special aura in the autumn.
It does. And it's just, you know, it's the newness of it. It's the re-cleansing or whatever, you know, that it is. You know, when we get to basketball season, we get to wrestling season, we talk about what that kid did in football. We talk about what that kid did in the fall. And this kind of sets the standard oftentimes for what an athletic program is going to be like throughout the school year, you know, and it sets that tone for the school. You know, being in schools for as long as I have, in the years that there's a successful football team, discipline is down. Grades are up. Kids are enthusiastic. The community is buzzing about things, and it can really a good football season can really set a positive tone, not just for the school district, but for the entire community. And so, and I think coaches take that on very seriously, and they talk behind closed doors. They talk about, you know, it's us, it's the community, it's the school. You know, more so I think than other sports do. You know, I think that at the coffee shops they talk about what the football team's doing more so than they do other sports, and there's just that. You know, the armchair quarterbacks all come out and everybody is excited about what's going on. And I don't know how I can explain it, I guess, in detail, but it's just different. There's a specialness to it that other sports just don't have.
Well, I mean, the limited number of games, you know, it's going to be Friday night, 7 o'clock for 9 weeks, and that's it.
And I grew up in a small town up in El Paso where football was very important. And, you know, we used to joke in the locker room, thinking, man, I tell you what, if we just skipped out at halftime, I bet we could go rob half the stores in town because they're all here. You know, we had a community where people start showing up at noon parking their car because you could pull right up to the field with your car. And it was overwhelming that, you know, people are parking their cars to come watch. And it was a very surreal thing. I'm 16 years old, and these old men are coming out to watch me do something.
Right.
And, you know, and it was something that we took very seriously. In our hometown, I know a lot of kids do, that, you know, the community involvement, it really meant a lot.
Awesome. We are out of time here. We want to thank Melissa Van Giese for coming in. Also, Dan Newkirk as well, and Chad Easterday and Gabe Cesaretti, along with Matt Trohaw, for joining us here on WSMI Sports Saturday on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville. For Terry, David, I'm Tim. Sports Saturday is done on WSMI.